Just wait just another minute or so. People going in, people going out. Okay, we have been doing a series, The Ministry of Reconciliation. And we have been looking as our primary passage for about the last 2 months, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So let's read it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, a lot we've talked about. A few main points. Probably the most important one is that we have been reconciled to God. We've talked about what that means. We've also seen that we've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. There's a world that needs to be reconciled to Christ. And God has given us that ministry. Not only that, he's entrusted to us the word of reconciliation, which is the message. The ministry is the more just loving people, taking care of people, as well as giving the word of reconciliation. And then today, we're going to talk about how we've been called to be ambassadors for Christ. Okay? And let's read verses 20 and 21 again. And I think we'll probably be finishing up this series today. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you. I like that. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, ambassadors. This verse 20 starts off by saying, therefore. And this doesn't translate very well, but I've always heard that whenever you see a therefore, see what it's there for. And we can say it this way. Because of all that we've seen so far in the previous verses, let's say this. You are ambassadors for Christ. Now, who are ambassadors? Most of us know, oh yeah, that's someone who kind of goes to another country. Well, it's more than that. It's those who represent a particular nation or kingdom to another. They usually spend, at least while they're an ambassador, most of their time in that foreign country. They also represent the values of their own country or their kingdom. And yes, we are like ambassadors. Philippians 3, verse 20. It says, here you go, let me get it here. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whom also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, the kingdom of God. That is our real home. And that's our destiny. I mean, look at it this way. For most of eternity, except for this little bit right here, we are going to spend in our own country, in our own kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. And we are just passing through this age now on assignment. as ambassadors. That's why the scriptures call us aliens, strangers, pilgrims, because that's what we are. And while on the earth, we represent the kingdom of God as ambassadors. That is our full-time job. That is our primary mission on this earth. Sure, we may have a job, but it's not the real job. You know, it's just an assignment that we have. More specifically, it says we are ambassadors for Christ. And our big message, be reconciled to God. Now, we can't say it enough. We represent the kingdom of God. We do not represent a country of this world. Now, we may have been assigned a particular country to be born in, or to grow in, up in, or to live in. In fact, we have quite a few people from different countries, don't we? But that's not who we represent here on this earth. Now, that's not to say that we don't appreciate where we're from, that we're not thankful for, but that's not who we represent. We represent the kingdom of God. We don't represent a particular denomination, or today's Christian world, or a particular movement. For most of eternity, that doesn't really matter, does it? There's not going to be different movements in heaven. There's not going to be different denominations in heaven. Okay? We represent the kingdom of God. We don't represent a political party or political cause, do we? Of course not. We represent Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. This morning, we sang several songs about, you know, worship to the King. We praise to the King. And who is our King? Jesus Christ. Remember the Romans, the Christians, the thing that got them in trouble in the early church was that they had an alternative king. It was King Jesus. It wasn't the emperor of Rome, was it? We represent Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, and his kingdom, which, by the way, is a forever kingdom. We're told in the scriptures all the kingdoms here are going to crumble. We represent the values of this kingdom. Now, what are the values of the kingdom of God? I'm afraid that a lot of times many Christians don't even know what the values are. The values of the kingdom of God we can get from our King Jesus. I mean, just think about when you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus. What are the things that he represents? What are his values? Compassion, kindness, agape love. He even kind of said, people of this world are going to know that you're my disciples or that you're part of my kingdom by the way you love one another. There's joy and thanksgiving and rejoicing. It's one of the things that separates us from this world that we're ambassadors in. And Jesus said, you abide in me and you'll know my joy and my joy will be in you. Does this world need joy and rejoicing and thanksgiving and all those things? Of course it does. We represent that by our lives, by the way. Serving others, being a servant, another value in the kingdom. Actually, Jesus said, you know, the great men of this world, they exercise authority over others, they lord it over others, but it is not so among you. And he says what? Those who want to be great have to be a servant. And those who want to be the greatest and first, you've got to be the servant of all. That's completely contrary to this world, isn't it? But that's who we represent. Self-denial and sacrifice. Whenever Jesus would talk about discipleship, he'd talk about denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, things like that. You know, losing your life. value of the kingdom of God. He also taught his disciples to be free from every attachment to money and wealth and possessions and greed. Jesus taught that in many ways, didn't he? I mean, parables, teachings. Respect and love for the Samaritan, which the Samaritan back then was the person that was the outcast, you know, the racially impure. So I think we could easily say respect and love for other races, other ethnic backgrounds, children, women, handicapped, orphans, the poor, the unborn. That's what makes us pro-life, by the way. We stand for the vulnerable. We stand for the weak, just like Jesus did. Now, that's just a few of the values of the kingdom of God. But we need to know what those values are, and we need to practice them. And by the way, the teachings of Jesus are pretty clear, aren't they? Verse 20, going back, it says, as though God were making an appeal through us. Kind of interesting way to put that. Because Jesus has chosen to speak through us to this lost world, to this world that needs reconciliation. He's chosen us. Now, when he was on the earth, he was here in person. But there was a limitation to that, wasn't that? He couldn't be in Jerusalem and Galilee at the same time. And he couldn't be in China or the New World. In fact, he couldn't even be having an intimate conversation with Peter and with John at the same time, one-on-one. So what did he do? He left his body. We, the church, are his body. And now we represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. That's the idea. We become the voice of God here in this world. We represent the Lord Jesus as ambassadors and his kingdom. How? By our behavior, one, and two, by our message. And what is our message? Be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. How did that happen? What Jesus did at the cross. He took our sin, which, by the way, had separated us from God. And by taking our sin, he was able to reconcile us to him. The scriptures say he actually became sin for us. He bore the penalty of our sin. God had to judge sin. And he took it all upon himself there at the cross. That's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate act of love for which we need to be grateful for the rest of eternity for. Because without that, we would have remained separate from God. We would have been unreconciled, and we would be spending eternity without Jesus in hell. So he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf. For what purpose? It says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans talks about the gift of righteousness. Sometimes it's called the gift of justification. And actually in Greek, same word. And by the way, in Spanish, it's the same word, la justificación, you know. And English is the one that kind of separated and kind of confused it. But they're the same, justification and righteousness. See, through the death of Jesus, because he took our sin upon us, he bore the penalty of our sin. It says, we are justified. He justifies us. He declares us righteous. And that's an amazing gift that me and you, who are not righteous, if we look at one another, when we become before God, God has chosen to see us and to declare us as righteous. And by the way, not just a partial righteous, You know, like just enough righteousness to get into heaven. It says that it's the righteousness of God. It's a total righteousness. That's how he's kind of, that's what he's declared for us. And when we get a hold of that, that will change our way of thinking. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:30, I don't think we have it up here, but he says that by his doing, Christ became to us, and it mentions several things, but one of it is righteousness. He became to us. He imparted to us righteousness. It's almost like he took off his clothes of righteousness and put them on each of us. And then he bore at the cross the penalty for our sin. That is love. That is sacrifice. And that's the part of the message that we have to kind of share to the world. And by doing that, because we are righteous, because we have those clothes of righteousness on right now, it allows us to have complete and full fellowship with God Almighty. We've been reconciled to him. Therefore, we can have eternal life and live with him forever and ever and ever. We can have new life here on this earth. Our sins are totally and completely forgiven. Remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago, not counting the trespasses against us. What a message we have been entrusted with, that he doesn't count our trespasses against us, that we've been declared righteous, that we've been fully reconciled to God. That's our message. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And he's entrusted to us the word of reconciliation. And then he says, you're ambassadors. You're part of my kingdom now. Your home is in heaven. But I have you here for a while as ambassadors. Because he knows that we've received this mercy and grace of being reconciled. Therefore, we should be excited enough to tell others about it. Do we see our calling? I hope so. Because that's really what this whole passage is about. We've been reconciled to God, and now we have a responsibility not to kind of make it through this life, not to, okay, kind of make sure our kids kind of grow up and be kind of nice and healthy and well-balanced. I mean, those are important. Not just to kind of make a good living, you know. It's important to have a job, a career. We're not saying that. But our purpose, our calling, is to be an ambassador. Sometimes I think a lot of us, we're ambassadors. We've been called, but we've been on vacation ever since we got called to this position. It's not that way at all. We're not on vacation, brothers and sisters. We have eternity to be on vacation. In conclusion, not to just today, but even this whole series, I want to make this appeal to each of you today. Be reconciled to God. Are you here and you've been hearing about this in the previous weeks, but you're not sure if you've been fully reconciled to God? The good news is that he, like we talked about the first week, he's done all of it for you. It's not like you have to get your life together to get reconciled to him, because that'll never happen, will it? He's there saying, he's got his hand out. He says, I want to be reconciled to you. I want to not count your trespasses against you. I want to give you eternal life. I want to declare you righteous. Please come to me and receive me. That's the challenge we have. Receive that gift of righteousness. Know for sure that your sins are totally forgiven and removed, that we can have full fellowship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, we talked about this earlier, that sometimes, maybe earlier in our life, we get reconciled to God. We see the beauty of walking with him And somehow just walking through life and just all the temptations and the distractions, what's happened? We've sort of kind of, always in a very subtle way, we've just kind of gotten off track. Did you know that God is reaching out to you today and saying, be reconciled to me? He's there. He's always doing that. You might say, yeah, but I really messed up. We gave the example of Peter several weeks ago. Did he mess up? Like deny the Lord three times? When he was standing over there before the courts? Did Jesus forgive him? Yes. In fact, he welcomed him back and said, listen, I still have a calling in your life. See, the enemy messes with our minds and our hearts too, trying to get us distracted, trying to get us confused. The simple gospel is that Jesus loves you, he died for you, and he's not going to just kind of just put you aside because you've messed up. He's there for you, and he's waiting for you. We come to him in humility and say, Lord, I need you. Get me back on track. So whether or not you've ever done this, or maybe you have but somehow gotten off, and it doesn't, you know, God knows how it happened. It can happen a million different ways, but he loves you and wants you to walk in full fellowship with him. So let's pray for that. And then at the end, I want to just kind of pray, and I want us all to renew our commitment to be an ambassador for him. Can we do that? So really the most important part of this morning is this prayer right here. So I'm going to pray on behalf of all of us, okay? And if I'm praying something that resonates with you, you say, yeah, that's me, Lord. Tell the Lord in your seat right now, Lord, that's me. That's my heart cry. Okay? Can we do that? Father, we thank you for this gift of reconciliation. Lord, that you have become sin that we might become the righteousness of God in you, Lord. Lord, we ask right now for every person here who is unsure of their fellowship with you, with their reconciliation with you. Lord, hear our cry this morning. Lord, we have sinned. We have messed up. It's separated us. It's made a separation between you and us. Lord, we come back to you now, or we come to you for the first time. And we ask, Lord, that you would restore the joy of your salvation, just like David prayed after he had kind of made big mistakes. Lord, we need you. We cannot live our lives without you. We know that. And Lord, you have placed us here in one of the most exciting, probably the most exciting time in all of history. The time when you're going to be wrapping things up. There's going to be a great harvest. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be ambassadors for you. Lord, we don't want to be on vacation. Lord, you've only given us one life to serve you like we can here. Lord, we've known your grace and mercy. Lord, now we want to share about your grace and mercy and love to other people, how you want people to be reconciled to you. Lord, again, we humbly come before you. We confess our sins. Lord, we confess that we are nothing without you. And we ask, Lord, that you would take our lives, Lord, and fashion them, mold them into vessels that you can use. Mold them into ambassadors, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I encourage all of you, sometime, preferably even this afternoon, if you can't this afternoon, sometime in the next 24 hours, take some time before the Lord and just meditate. Maybe read over this passage again and say, Lord, I want to understand the full meaning of being reconciled to you. I want to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. I want to be an ambassador carrying the word of reconciliation. He's looking to hear prayers like that. And again, don't let the enemy confuse you with and accuse you. Remember in Revelation 12, he kind of talks about, he's called the accuser of the brothers because he loves to accuse us. But how did they overcome him? Because of the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And they did not love their life even to death. The blood of the Lamb. He has cleansed me. He has reconciled me to himself through his blood. Amen? Amen. Okay.